Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And if you could still hear it, that is a train that is going by our house right now. So, if you like what you hear after listening to everything, and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us via whatever place you snag this podcast from, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Podcasts, whatever. More on that at the end of the show. But first, you're kind of wondering why the title is what it is. That's because we're going to give you some reviews and going to do something we haven't done in a little, or say a long while, and that is do a few calls. So we'll get into each and upon itself, but first let's tackle those reviews, because we got a couple of new things for the show. I won't say for the show. We'll talk about that as well. But first, let's talk about Ready Player 2. Ready Player 2 is the sequel to the book Ready Player 1. Both are written by Ernest Cline, and Ready Player One came out, for those who are not familiar with the books, Ready Player One came out about 8 years ago, and it was about this kind of, this kid that is, in essence, an orphan, and it's kind of a dystopian type of world, but it kind of is in its own right, and because the world that the main character lives in is kind of overpopulated, and because of its overpopulation, a lot of there's a fuel crisis, energy crisis, food crisis, you name it, it's a crisis. But during this time, a corporation, a gaming corporation, but they did start out like a small-time video game corporation. They decided and developed this thing called, I'm reviewing it and it escapes my mind. They create this world, a virtual world that you could legitimately interact with it. As the movie that came out in 2018 kind of described, that hey, you could pretty much live in this world. You get gloves, you could pick stuff up, you could interact with people, and you know, you could put on special suit, like suits, and if you touch somebody, touches you, you could feel it, feel them touch you, and goes the whole nine. In essence, the world goes the whole nine. If you want to be Batman, you could pretty much be Batman, or if you want to, you know, look like a Ninja Turtle, it could be anything in this virtual world. But that's what this virtual world was, and it cost, sorry, my throat was getting a little scratchy. You can, you know, cost a quarter to sign up, so anybody could sign up, and from then on it's basically free. But if you want to purchase something in this virtual world, you could either get credits, which can be transferred into real world cash, or use real world cash to purchase things in this world. Like if you want a virtual pizza, you could pay for it using the credits you have in system, or if you don't have enough credits, you could use, and you have plenty of real world cash, you could just do it that way, kind of like how things are kind of today. So, and when the creator and main CEO of this corporation passes away, granted, I'm just summing up the first book. Spoilers if you haven't read the first book, the second book, or watched the movie. But if you don't care, please, let's continue this. And also, if you do care, you've been warned, let's go. So, what happens is, the creator, CEO of the company, sole owner, passes away. And upon the release, of his passing, a message was sent out to pretty much the whole world, everybody, anybody who had an account, anybody watching the news, saying, "Hey, if you're watching this, I've passed on. Consider this my last part of my last will and testament. That what I did is I've hid pretty much three keys around the vast virtual world. Anybody who is able to find these keys and unlock the corresponding gates and solve the riddles and so forth and so on, you get my Easter egg. And upon finding this Easter egg, you in essence win my company." So therefore, this main story, or Ready Player One, is basically a Willy Wonka-esque type story. In regards to everybody's looking for the keys in a way, but since the creator's passing, by the way, if you kind of hear a strange echo in this episode, just be forewarned that I'm wearing headphones because we'll be doing kind of Skype calls later, and therefore I have to wear headphones to avoid the feedback and the whine and everything else. But like I said, this is a kind of a Willy Wonka-esque type story that the first few years, or pretty much the sum up I gave you and what happened, is pretty much the sum up that the main character kind of gives you in this. And I'm going to say my thoughts on the movie and the first book is that it's similar to a lot of what other people have said. Now, people have pretty much picked this movie, I wouldn't say movie, the book apart. I think Ernest Cline wrote only about three or four books, including Ready Player One. Let's do this here, folks. Let's pull up Google and pull up Ernest Cline here. Let's do this. We're doing this live, folks. Let's see. Cline. American Ernest Cline. It was a C, not a K. Okay. Let's see. Wikipedia. Now, let's see here. I don't care. Damn it, Wikipedia. I didn't want to donate to your thing. I don't want to edit anything. I want this guy's career. He pretty much did three. Pretty much three. This hasn't been. It's been last edited 12 days ago, and they don't have this book. Three books. So far. Three books and several screenplays. He wrote Ready Player One in 2011, Ready Player Two, which was just released this past November, before Thanksgiving, and Armada, which was written in 2015, and he's wrote a short story called The Omnibot Incident in 2014. He's written a screenplay called Fanboys in 2009, an episode of Red vs. Blue in 2016, an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, and the Ready Player One script. That is pretty much it for his career. So I'm not saying don't make anything out of it, but if he's making money, he's making money. But the Ready Player One is just, the main character is pretty much a butthead, a douche. He has no arc. At times in the first book, he's a creeper, literally creeper, a stalker. He suffers from puppy dog syndrome in regards to the female kind of part of the story, which is Artemis, and just that, you know. It's just weird in regards to everything. He doesn't really learn anything. He rides on the coattails of other people. Hey, this character found it, and where were they at this particular place and time? I figured out, oh, I've been practicing this game for years and years and years. Therefore, I'm able to beat this aspect or solve this riddle because I played the game. He just stumbles his way. There's no real aspect or depth in the book. Let me put it like this. A lot of folks critique me for being a Stephen King fan or an old school Stephen King fan or a Harry Dresden fan because these books are pretty much junk food for the brain. There's no real depth to the books or anything like that, but they're a fun read. This is worse than that, you know, in regards to Player Ready One. It's a even faster read than reading a Harry Dresden book or a Stephen King book. You might actually get a thicker book getting from Harry Dresden or a Stephen King book. But it's just lux into it. And to lead into the second book is pretty much the same as the first. It's like the song Henry the Eighth. The lyric of the song is pretty much the same set of lyrics over and over and over again. It's like, hey, I'm Henry the Eighth. There's been we all married the same girl, so therefore I'm Harry the Eighth. So I forgot how it is, but folks, if you want. In our social media, if you like us on social media, whether it be Facebook or YouTube or whatever, let us know in the comments down below. But please, it's just more of the same. The second book is basically a cash grab. That's all it is. I don't want to say it's a cash grab per se. Granted, I glossed over Ready Player One, legitimately. Ready Player Two is I wouldn't say it's a cash grab, but it comes off that way a little bit. It's more along the lines as the Jurassic Park sequel book. I think it was like Jurassic World or something like that, by Michael Crichton. But what I mean by that is that the late author Michael Crichton wrote the book Jurassic Park. It got opted to a wonderful movie, which I think a lot of it holds up in regards to effects and storyline today, but that's one personal opinion. But what happened was the movie became really, really popular and it made a whole crap ton of money. So what happened was the studios and I think his publisher said, Michael, you gotta write a sequel to this. You have to. Because why? If the studio wants, you know, we at the studio and the publisher probably got together and said, hey, Michael, you gotta write a sequel. You gotta write a sequel. Why do I gotta write a sequel? Well, the movie was a success. It was a blockbuster. It earned us a whole crap ton of money. And the publisher was like, yeah, us too. A lot of people bought the book. By the way, here's your royalty check for the book. But the reason why we need you to write another sequel is because if we want to make another movie, we need more material to get, you know, use. Therefore, we can make more movies. And therefore, that's why he wrote the book. And, you know, the sequel is pretty good and science heavy and kind of connected well with the first. And had rounded out the characters a little bit. It's been a while since I read the sequel to the Jurassic Park. I might have to actually pick it up and give it a reread. Whether it's through actually paying for it through like Amazon for my Kindle or getting an Uncle Tony copy. But I digress. Back to Ready Player 2. That's how this felt. It felt like, hey, Ernest, this is what happened. Your first book was really popular. It came out in 2011. We got this movie done. It made millions. It made bang. People still kind of... People loved it. People hated it. The diehard fans are still picking through every scene today in regards to this movie. You got to write a sequel to this. You got to. Just in case we want to opt in another movie. So that's what he did. He wrote a sequel that pretty much takes place right after. Pretty much it starts off right after the first book ends. And it covers, it glosses over the first week or so, and it takes, I'll give Ernest credit for something, one of the few things, because if, I'll get into that author in a minute, but he kind of glosses over the main character's relationship with Artemis, because the main character is still a douchebag, introverted, diehard, introverted, stubborn, douchebag, a little bit egotistical, and that's what, you know, he initially gets, his Artemis breaks up with him. But in the first part of the book, is like, oh yeah, it's atypical, and my it comes off as bragging in a way, but it's a way of like a guy bragging about, you know, it's like, yeah, I had sex with Artemis for the first week. We were practically inseparable for, you know, that first week. We pretty much see that spot. I'm pretty much, it's not, I'm not reading it, but that's how it came across. Like, see that spot over there by that hedge? We were behind that hedge doing it. I was in her room. We were doing it for the week. And we went downstairs in, you know, this guy's man cave, and we were behind the arcade machines doing it. That's how it came across. You know, it's just like a guy that probably it comes off more so like a guy that has never had sex, but he's trying to brag about it, and that's how he's coming off a little bit. And it's more on the side of like, yeah, he actually did, but he's just he's becoming off like a fisherman a little bit. Yeah, he got something. He got maybe a 10-inch fish, but he's saying, oh yeah, it was a 16-incher, man. You should have seen it. It fought like a son of a sucker, you know? That's how he's coming off as. But any more than that, it would have came off like, yeah, he'd never gotten any. He's just lying through his teeth. But because he never really learned anything, therefore, he still does, you know, pretty much doesn't learn anything, no growth. And this is plays off a lot of, it's the same as the first book, but a little bit different. It's kind of like how, I'll go one better example, to kind of almost use the Ready Player One and Player Two reference. It's kind of like how Evil Dead 1, the first Evil Dead and the second Evil Dead are pretty much the same damn movie, yet a little different. It's like how Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. are the same damn movie, but a little bit different. But you're going to go and watch it anyway. That's how this book felt. Did I pay for this book out of pocket? Yes, it was $10, $12 on Amazon for my Kindle. I figured, why the hell not? I like the first one. I like the movie. Let's see how this goes. I'm happy to pay my money. And come to find out, it was same verse, second verse, same as the first. Pretty much. What turns out is after, you know, he takes over the main, not just, what happened at, spoilers if you haven't read the first book or seen the movie. What happens is, in order to kind of get to the last key, even though the main character got the last key, won the main prize, in the first book, he says, you know, all right, because I got help from my friend, four other friends here, one of which who passes away in the book, I'm not going to say how, but it's like, because I had help from them, they're willing to help me out. I made these friends, we're all cool. If I win, I'm going to split it, you know, with the remaining of the group here. Despite the fact, in the first book, none of these characters wanted to team up. They teamed up. Therefore, you know, the remaining four people pretty much, you know, are running the company now in the second book. And what happens is, well, main characters, you know, the main character actually takes over because it's part of the company and the assets. In essence, not only did, because he won the first book, and in essence, was the main winner, inherited kind of for his online, quote-unquote, online avatar, the kind of equipment that makes him a super admin. Not just super admin, godlike admin type stuff. He also gets the former dead CEO's house, the property, you know, everything else. He's the main person in this. That's how, you know, just we're going to give him everything. Come to find out, while he's going through, you know, doing his job and finally setting in into being this new owner along with his three other friends, one of which is his former quote-unquote girlfriend, he gets an email sent to him that is pretty much an email from this dead owner, you know, the former, the guy that pretty much ran the company before him and died while running it, saying, hey, if you go here, type in this code, basically, go here, there's something waiting for you there. So he goes there, finds out that that the company was pretty much working on a new type of headset or headgear. Think instead of something like along the lines of an Oculus Rift, which is basically what the movie and the book initially goes off of, like kind of like an Oculus Rift where you have goggles and instead of like a joystick, but it's more along the lines of gloves. This new headset is more so plugs into your brain in a way. Think more so Matrix without all the fancy needles. And allow any person to kind of record what they're doing, upload the file, and allow somebody else with that particular headset to experience what you experienced. Meaning that if you're really good at surfing or you really enjoy skydiving, and you know how to do skydiving and surfing safely, you're able to wear one of these helmets, record the experience, and someone else who might be afraid of heights or the dangers of surfing or skydiving experience what you're experiencing safely. And most people are like, hey, that's a good idea. Hey, why not? So, and there's plenty of uses for it. I'm going to run a track. I'm going to run this track or go here, climb this mountain, and allow people to, in essence, experience what it's like to climb up a mountain or that. And granted, there's other experiences that kind of dives into it in regards to, in essence, how the porn industry kind of makes out with this, pun possibly intended, or I should say, double entendre possibly intended. He finds this prototype, realizes what it is and how advanced it is, what it can be done. He takes this prototype to his friends, which is the main board of directors at this point, and says, you know, I found this, you know, we can, you know, sell these, you know, it can revolutionize the virtual environment that we're in. And they're like, well, it's one, you're right, you know, at least two other of his friends were like, yeah, you're right, especially somebody who's handicapped and can't use the virtual equipment and so forth and so on. But Artemis is the kind of starts off as like the voice of reason, saying, why would anybody do that? You know, there's more harm than good with this. And that's where the shenanigans start. Because once the shenanigans start, what happens is another riddle, another big Easter egg hunt happens. Because out comes the riddle saying, hey, a new riddle from the old owner comes back. Hey, we have a new hunt out. But here's the deal. Only those who, in essence, are my corporate, my heirs to my, good fortune, are able to touch the shark, you know, go after this new egg. But you're more than welcome to try to find these shards, these aspects yourself. But the only ones who are able to collect are my heirs. And it turns out, the only two people that are able to touch these crystals is one, the main person in this story, and the original owner of this company's best friend. Now, what happens is, you come to find out the, again, spoilers if you don't want to figure out this part of the book. What happens is, the main baddie in this is the avatar, in essence, is pretty much AI. The book is the primary basis about this, or they kind of bring it up and set it to the side, bring it up, set it to the side, is AI. Think, again, Matrix, Terminator, that along those lines. And what it comes out in this book is that the avatar, the representation of the CEO of the first, you know, guy of the first book, what happened, the main owner of the company in the first book, he developed an avatar that once you found the key or opened up the gate and initially found the egg at the end, the owner's avatar will show up and say, "Hey, congratulations!" You know, he'd basically a glorified NPC. And what was supposed to happen at the end of the first book, what you find out in the second book, as soon as this Easter egg hunt or the initial Easter egg hunt was over, the avatar was supposed to go poof. Turns out that particular avatar was an AI. Not so much bare bones, but as close to the being the original owner as it can. But what the instant before it was supposed to be erased, all the restrictions behind that particular NPC or avatar were lifted, it became more self-aware than it already was, and decided, "I'm not going to erase myself, I am going to wreak havoc." And that's what it did. And anybody who had one of these new virtual rigs were prone to its hacking, this avatars or this AI's hacking. So it became, is the book decent? Yeah, sort of. If you want something to, you know, read and go through, yeah, pick it up. If you want to figure out how the story kind of continues after the first book or the first movie, I would say, not saying so much the first movie, but the movie that came out in 2018, then, you know, pick it up. I'd say wait until the price of the digital, if you're someone like me that reads ebooks or books on the go with ebooks, wait until it's on sale and comes down from, like, I think right now it's at like $12, $13. Wait until it comes down to under $10 or the fact that it's, I'm not condoning contacting Uncle Tony and getting a copy through him, but wait until it comes, if you want to buy it legitimately, wait until it comes down to $10 or is on sale for less than $10, and I don't mean $9.99, but wait until it comes down on sale and get it that way, or wait until Books A Million or Borders or your local bookstore has it on sale. Now, let's transition to the aspect of will there be a sequel? As far as I know, there's no talks about a sequel in regards to this particular book or to the first movie. I think the movie did well enough for a sequel financially, but the movie took like 5-6 years in order to be made because of the effects or what had the licensing, and what I mean by that, for those who haven't seen the movie but wish to kind of know or don't really care, but the movie had a lot of Easter eggs in upon itself, meaning if you look closely you could see like the Ninja Turtles, Master Chief, Batman, you know, all these like characters like Harley Quinn and people that chose to be like Harley Quinn in the game, this particular virtual environment and that sort of thing. And what also is because these characters have their particular rights, because Warner Brothers is the one that made this movie, getting the rights to like the Ninja Turtles, Batman, Harley Quinn, and maybe RoboCop in and upon itself is easy. They own these rights. They could pretty much say yes. And in regards to the DC characters, if DC said no, we're not giving you any rights, like Warner Brothers would say, you don't understand. We own the movie rights. You will say yes. And therefore, because we own the movie rights, and this is going to be a movie Batman, we're saying yes. And it's just a matter of legality. And so therefore, the second movie, if it chooses to be made, it's going to take some time to write the script because the book just came out. Number two, it's going to take some another God knows how long before, if they choose to, if Steven Spielberg decides to do it, or whomever decides to do the sequel, wants to include a whole mess of visual Easter eggs in it, like, again, Batman's in the background, or Ninja Turtles in the background, or Halo's in the background, or Super Mario in the background, and so forth and so on. These legalities are going to take time to hammer out. So therefore, that's an issue. That's a problem. Not necessarily a problem, but considering the book starts off immediately at where the, or say pretty much immediately after the first one ends, as one of the characters, I want to say one of the actresses, the person who played Artemis has stated, the first one took a while to take. The second one, the first movie, like I said, took a while to make and produce and put together. The second one is going to probably be the same way. If they want me to come back, it's going to be hard for me to do it because I'm going to be probably 5, 10, 15 years older by the time this movie comes out, and there's no way I'm going to look the same way I did 5, 10, 15 years ago. So, that's a good point. So, the thing is, my question is that if they do choose this, would they, the way Hollywood is now, my guess is that they might have to reboot the first movie, then do kind of like a Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit sort of thing, and just kind of do both movies together, and just when one is supposed to end, like where the first book ends, cut it, print it, relaunch it into theaters or now digital marketing, like HBO Max or Netflix or Hulu or Vudu or wherever. Put it up, recoup your money back as much as possible. If it was a hit or a success, then a year later, 2 years later, do reshoots if need be, and release the sequel. Because right now, I don't think they were actually thinking of a sequel to the first movie when they made it. So, now that there's a book, it's kind of meh. It's okay. It's alright. I kind of enjoyed it, but let me just say this. As stated, this is a book done purely on the fact that the movie was a success, and the first book became a hit and a success for a second time, therefore there was cause for the second book. And I don't mind it if this book turns out to be a success, but the way they ended it, I doubt there will be a third. The way it kind of ends, there's a little bit of a twist to it. I didn't like it, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let you folks, if you want to read the book, to read the book. But let me just say, the way he wrote it, there's no way he could possibly do a third book unless probably his publisher dumps a whole mess of gets a dump truck, fills the dump truck full of money, and just empties it out on his driveway and says, we want a third book. But overall, I doubt it. I don't see a third book in the future. But if you read the first book, you can probably say, yeah, there's going to be a second book involved in this. But the third, you got the second book. Now, let me just say this. That being said, and I told you how this book was pretty much felt like a forced sequel in a way to the successful first book. Let me just say, at least it's not Clan of the Cave Bear. For you youngins out there, there was a movie out in the 80s, and book out in the 80s, or a series of books out in the 80s and 90s. Actually, I think the final book came out in the early 2000s, but the majority of the series came out in the 80s and the 90s. It was called Clan of the Cave Bear. The first book was Clan of the Cave Bear. It was a book that was made into a movie. The movie was starred Daryl Hannah. I was a young lad that saw this movie a couple of times on HBO and on TV. Well, granted, HBO is TV, but I saw this movie a couple of times on various stations in the 80s, growing up as a kid in the 80s. After seeing the movie, I wanted to know more. Like most young lads, you know, hey, what happens after the end of the movie? Did she survive? I want to kind of know the journey of this character. And come to find out, in my late teens, early adulthood, there was a book. I forgot that this movie was based on a book. So, me being the broke young lad, I wouldn't say young lad, or the young adult that I was, having limited funds, I was usually... We'd go around to local flea markets and garage sales and so forth and so on. And sure enough, I could pick up the Clan of the Cave Bear books for like 50 cents, a dollar, maybe a quarter at the lowest, depending on the garage sale, flea market sort of thing. I decided, hey, I got 50 cents, I got a quarter, I got a dollar. You know what? Let's make a deal here. Here's a dollar. Here's my book. Give me the book. Read the first book. Kind of enjoyed it. I expanded on the story that was, like most books, movies based on books, the books was kind of expanded on things, went in a little bit more detail, and then I read the second book, then I read the third book, tried to read the fourth book, stopped after the fourth, midway into the fourth book, because the books themselves were becoming more and more like a Harlequin romance novel, or should I say, the way the author was treating it is like every 15 pages or so, or every chance that she could get, she shoehorned in a almost explicit sex scene in each of, you know, the books in the later. I think even in the second book, there was a few. And one or two, and the third book, and the fourth. And it's like every chance she was able to get into, there was a sex scene. Almost graphic. It was almost it was borderline pornographic. And it turned me off. I couldn't get into past that one, you know, past midway through the that fourth book, like third or fourth book. And I didn't want to, you know, read it anymore. And it just seemed like the remaining books in her series were just cash grabs. It's like, it wasn't like, hey, people want to know what happened after this. They want to know what happened after this. I'm sure she has a fan base, but it just seemed like, oh, I need pizza money, or I'm running out of funds for, you know, my home, or I need a new home, or something like that. You know, I'm going to write another Clan of the Cave Bear book. Maybe my publisher will give me extra 10 grand or something like that, and get some extra cash out of the deal. That's it. That's how that felt. That's almost how, for the sake, when I first started reading Ready Player 2, kind of felt. It was like, I hope to God this doesn't turn out to a Clan of the Cave Bear sequel. That There's going to be something stupid every 15, 20 pages. Turns out it was more so like the Jurassic Park book sequel than Clan of the Cave Bear. So I was happy with that. And to kind of continue things, we did that in another review. I've been playing a little bit of Call of Duty Cold War. I know people loved it, hated it. My first impressions of the game was pretty much the fact of the matter was, hey, there's all these big maps. There's no small. I was happy that they didn't do a balancing thing like they did with Black Ops 4. That it was all kind of like an Overwatch or a Fortnite, combination of Overwatch and Fortnite, where everything had to be balanced. Like, oh, this is your favorite character? No, you're not going to be playing that character because the teams have got to be balanced. More so that you customize, and it's like Call of Duties of old. This takes place right after Cold War. So, not Cold War, I think the second one, the second Black Ops. So, it's good. It plays just like, I think it takes place between like the first and second Black Ops game, story-wise. I haven't played the main game yet, but I fiddled with zombies a little bit, and zombies was fun. It really, I was teamed up with like three, four other people, and the game, from what I heard prior to playing zombies, was that once you hit like wave 15, the game starts to kick your ass. And it turns out you're right. The person was right. The game was kicking my ass. I'd get respawned at the start of the round, and immediately have my ass handed to me. So it was fun. It was legitimately fun. I had fun. I got sick and tired of getting my ass handed to me and kind of left the game right after, but still. One of the other issues I had with playing the game for the first time, at least on multiplayer, is the fact that there was too many big maps. Too many. I didn't realize you could set the game mode I went into. I don't want to say it was like a Fortnite aspect, but you kind of parachute in and to gain objectives once you land. There were instances you'd get shot legitimately from the players down below. You didn't even land first, and you'd have the players down on the ground shooting you, pretty much killing you as soon as you spawned. As soon as you parachute in, you're dead. As soon as you leave the plane, you're dead because the players are killing you. Found the actual game modes where you could actually have a little bit more fun, which is like Hardpoint, Team Deathmatch, Domination, Capture the Flag, that sort of thing. That was a separate mode, and you have the ability to filter out what modes or select what modes you want and what modes you don't want. Meaning, if you really like Kill Confirmed, Hardpoint, Team Deathmatch, and Domination, you could select those, and those are the games that you will constantly be in or constantly be put in. And my complaint with that was big maps. Like always with Call of Duty, they put maps in that were way too big for me, meaning that you could spend the whole map playing maps and not come into anybody. But as somebody that's not really, who plays for fun and fits and giggles, it could be a good thing, but it's also disappointing because you're not really participating in any way, shape, or form. Then a few days later, logging into the game to probably fiddle around with, dominate. Maybe I could play some domination. That way I could at least have a little fun with that. Maybe they'll be on smaller maps instead of maps overly large. I see something new added to the playlist, or a special selection, kind of like what they did with World War II, their Call of Duty World War II game. It was the fan favorite, the one, the only, Nuketown. Nuketown is everybody's fan favorite. Everybody loves Nuketown. It's a small map. Pisses everybody off because of how it's designed. Pisses me off, but I have fun with it. I could tolerate as much as Nuketown pisses me off. I like it because it's a small map, and it fits me nicely, and it allows me to again participate in domination, kill confirmed, hardpoint, team deathmatch, free for all. I love these modes, and I don't mind playing them on Nuketown. So it I'm happy with that. Just that, yeah, there's like last night when I was playing for a few minutes, the game when I first started up was kind of, I wouldn't say glitching, it was like stuttering a little bit, and the game kind of legitimately froze right after the match I had. So I had to, in essence, it didn't freeze my system, just the game. I had to back out of the game, quit the game, and then restart the game in order and start to play okay. I think I played an additional match or two afterwards. Both of which were domination. So yeah, things worked okay after that. And I'm really enjoying myself with it. Hopefully by the time this week's out, I'll have Cyberpunk 2077 in my hands and get my hands on that and maybe start playing that. With all the remasters I have from the Black Friday sales, Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, Cyberpunk. I'm going to have a lot of stuff to play and stream for you guys. So if I'm in the mood to play a Call of Duty one night on Twitch, I'm going to be playing Call of Duty and with our new camera. Now, to step away from reviewing the games and all that fun jazz and talking about Call of Duty, let me talk about the piece of equipment. I think I touched on it last week with the show with Sasha. If you haven't heard it, I guess some of you haven't heard it because there wasn't much downloads on it. But still, what happened was I picked up a new camera. It's a Zoom Q8 camera. Granted, it's not a 4K camera or a 5K camera or an ultra high def camera. It's only a 1080p. But for our show, 1080p is just fine. And what the camera does is perfect. Granted, it's a webcam. Pretty much if you're... The manual has stated that it's like, hey, if your computer doesn't have a webcam, it uses a webcam. If you need a microphone for your computer, it works as a microphone. And that's great. I have yet to test that functionality with the laptop, even though my laptop, in essence, comes with a built-in microphone and a webcam as it is. But still, for show recordings, I use external mic. I want to see how the new camera works as a camcorder and a mic as it is, or what have you. But for the most part, from the camera aspect and mic, it's perfect. It works great as a webcam for our Xbox One. So when we do stream to Twitch, hey, we got that. So that's there for you. You'll be able to see me play games. Plus, as say, the Q8 is also a mobile microphone, which means we don't have to rely on our cell phone to record video, audio, or anything else. We can because this camera has a very good microphone attached to it. Plus, it has ports in the back for a XLR microphone, or kind of the mics you see in some of our studio pics that we post up on Instagram every now and again. So, which means that if we're recording somebody or interviewing somebody, we can have a mic on ourselves and a mic on them and have better audio. So, that's wonderful. It's great. It has a tendency to feel... It's a little bit, I don't want to say it's flimsier than it looks. Right now we have our full camera bag set up for it, which is the camera, extra memory cards, extra battery, Plus, we have went to Walmart and picked up their vlogging kit, which comes with a better camera stand. It comes with an L bracket and a light, which is good for us just in case we have a similar instance to what we had at the Apollo Theater, where we're walking to an area where it's dark and we have to find a light switch. At least that way we have some sort of light to shine into the area while we're walking in. And hopefully the footage we get is a little bit better. This is going to upgrade our streaming game a little bit, our con game, if cons come back. Hopefully when 2021 rolls around, there'll be a few conventions out there that we'll have to take some time off from our 9-to-5 to go to, and this will be our camera of choice. Instead of dragging a laptop with us, all we'll have to do is eject the memory card, pop in a new memory card, and voila. Now, let me just say this. As for how it handles, past 29 minutes, we haven't gotten that far yet with video, but I will say this. The memory cards, if I'm recording high-end 1080p video with better audio, it's about a little over 5 hours, maybe 5 hours, 15 minutes. If I'm recording standard def with or everything's baseline recording for video, it's about 16 hours worth of video, which is a whole hell of a lot of video. That's on a 64 gig memory card or SD card. As for audio, for a 64 gig card, close to 100 hours of audio. I doubt we're going to get that much audio, but I digress. For a show our size, it's perfect. It's wonderful, and I'm able to switch for, if I don't have everything hooked up to the camera and I'm just doing everything handheld, I'm able to go from recording video to recording audio in probably less than 10 seconds. So between 10 to 15 seconds, I'm able to go from recording video to audio. Now, even though we're getting close to an hour, I still have a few phone calls to make. That's right, phone calls. We are going to be switching over to Stitcher. We're doing everything live. We're going to open up the dial pad and kind of make a few calls. That's right. We're going to make, this is something we haven't done in a while. We're going to have kind of reaction to everything. Let's close a couple things on our phone because, wait a minute, that's not what I wanted to do. Okay, the first thing we're going to do, let's open up our phone. Let's see here. Did we screenshot the one that we're going to do? Let's see here. Download, Reddit, memes, Twitter, screenshots. Is this the screen? No. I have to... I'm going to pause this for a second, folks, so I can bring up the one number and be able to... I thought I downloaded it. Apparently not. And let's see here. I thought I did. And probably not. Let's see here. Instagram, screenshots, memes, Reddit, download. Yes, I did download. Okay. The first number we're going to call, let's have some fun before we get into anything else. Because what we're going to do is we're going to call Santa and the Grinch later. Upcoming, but first, we're going to have some fun and call, see if the number is still active. And it's calling, this number has been around for, I've been seeing this every now and again. It pops up on Facebook now and again, or at least on my timeline. The hotline's called Colin Oates. It only plays Hall & Oates songs for you when you call. Let's see. 719 area code. 2 6. Yep, gotta put the number lock on. Let's see, let's move this here. Number lock. 2 6. No, it wants me to actually hit the tab. 2 6 6. Let's see. I'm not gonna add that at 2. You could find this at 7. It's calling.
Welcome to Colin Oates, your emergency Hall and Oates helpline. To hear one-on-one, please press 1. To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3. To hear Privatize, please press 4.
I'm surprised it works. I didn't expect. Now, when I researched, I wanted to make this call, but the thing is, let's see, calls. Let's see. I was that? I want the pad back up. No. Where's the number pad? There. Oh, there it is. The thing is. When I was, I wanted to make this call for the longest time. When I went through my photo archive and I re-saw it, the thing is, I wanted to make the call. It was something we haven't done in a while. And everything I pulled up said, we don't know if it's still active. Apparently, it still is. You could dial this number. Because it's still active, you could research it. I'm going to give the number. If you want to explore this number yourself, and since it's not a personal number, the number is 719-266-2837. Or as one of the memes have stated, it's 719-26-OATS. That's right. If you want to explore this number further, feel free to give it a call. It's not a personal number. It's still active. So, there's that. I am happy that this number is still legit. Now, granted, it's not the best quality. Apparently, this number has been around since like 2011. But next up, Colin the Grinch. That's right, because it's the holiday season, let's call the Grinch. Now, there's two numbers Colin the Grinch. The first one is a 712 number, or I should say a 712, and I want to see there was a I want to see there was something different there. Let's see, photos. There's a 71, like I said, there was a 712 area code number for the Grinch and a 202 number. Now, I want to go with the 2. It just says, the one that's for the 212, the meme that's been, this one's been floating around Facebook for the past few weeks. It says, the Grinch's phone number, you are welcome. And it's the 202 number. No, wait. I missed time. The Skype is not allowing me to use my number pad for this. So, I hope, all you're going to hear is the beeps. This is being included, so, so you know that I'm actually making the call. I'm not making this crap up. So let's.
Thank you for calling the office of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. We value hearing from you. In English, stay on the line. Para español, presiona cinco. If you would like to voice your opinion, share feedback, or pass along a personal story to Speaker Pelosi, please press 1. If you would like to find out...
Let's hang that up. Hang up. Oh, God. That number was Nancy Pelosi's number, our office number. We're going to be on some sort of... I thank God we called through Skype. Or else we're going to be on some sort of number. Some sort of... If we're not on some sort of list now... List, we are now. Because that was Nancy Pelosi's number. I'm going to... Even though you kind of heard my political opinions on our election special... I'm going to kind of... not go into what I think of, you know, why people might think she's a Grinch, but there is one other. Hopefully it's not another senator's or congressperson's number in regards to Grinch. That was the one we called. That was Nancy Pelosi. Was a 202 area code. This is a 712 area code. And oh man, that was a pleasant surprise. I didn't expect that. But this particular call, the Grinch number is that says if you call 712. And the number, it will read the Grinch Studio audio. I didn't believe it would really work, but we tried it, and it did. Hey, the Long Coat Mafia podcast didn't try it, so therefore, let's try it. 7 1 2 8 2 and dial. Let's see.
Welcome to the freeconference.com Christmas hotline. Enjoy these Christmas stories.
Wow. Let's see what we got. We are reacting.
The Night Before Christmas by Clement Clark Moore. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the...
As much as I don't want to stop the story, but because that's quaint and innocent and everything else, I'm going to give out that number. Apparently, I guess they might switch up the story daily, or every time you call might get something different. I don't have any qualms sharing out this particular number. It is, I don't want to share out, even though you could probably dig out, call the Grinch, and it'd be Nancy Pelosi's number on Facebook like I did. But I'm not going to give that out on the air. I'm not going to, you know, what have you. But something like this, like Hall & Oates, I don't mind giving that number out because it's harmless, it's fun. This is harmless, this is fun, this is wonderful. If it cheers you up, if you want to hear more, see if they switch out, or you want to hear more of the Christmas story or see what else they put out, the number is 712-832-8555. It might be a wonderful thing to call and give to your kids to hear a Christmas story, so forth and so on. Now, That being said, we have, before we call it a day, so to speak, or an episode, we have one more phone call to make. That's right, folks. We have one more phone call. We are going to try, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to call the Red Man himself. Not Satan, Santa. Maybe there's a number for Satan. Maybe we should call Satan. I'll go on Twitter, see if I would get Satan's number, and call Satan. This should be an interesting conversation. But we're going to call the other Red Man, Santa. Let's see here. If things are innocent, I won't mind calling out the number. Okay, this is a 951 number, area code number. Oop. Almost misdialed. Almost called some poor sap. Let's see. Now, I don't know how things work and how these numbers and everything. Let's see here. I'm doing everything live. That's right. Is it a bus? Is it a bus? Is it? Will it connect? Will he do it? Is it a bus? It's keeping trying. It's trying.
Oh. We got Santa. Merry Christmas! This is Santa Claus, and you have reached my personal hotline. We have been very busy making all of those toys to deliver on Christmas morning. I want you to know that your family loves you very much, and so do I. So be good. And don't forget to always listen to your parents. When you hear the tone, please leave me your Christmas gift wishes and holiday...
Hang that up and close down Skype. And granted, it's geared, as you heard, geared for kids. It's something simple and you could probably have fun with. For your kids out there, if you got, or you're a kid at heart, I mean, you want to give Santa a call this holiday season. Again, this is something innocent. There's no harm in this. You're not bugging anybody. You're not going after anybody. I don't have any issues giving out the number. The number for this, if you want to call Santa, is 951-262-3062. Now, granted, if you want to hear the story, the story time number, the Hall & Oates number, or like the Hall & Oates thing, the Santa, or actually the Christmas stories, or Calling Grinch, those you could find easily on Google Images, like typing in Call the Grinch or Call Santa or Call an Oats, and you're able to pick this stuff up. The reason why I didn't give out Nancy Pelosi's number is because, well, reasons. It just didn't feel right giving out that number. But Call an Oats and calling, getting Christmas stories and calling Santa, that's pretty much simple. It's easy. It's fun. I'm all about having fun, especially having fun this type of year. That's being said, if you want to join in the conversation, I hope you enjoyed this quick and simple little episode for the compared to last week's 3 hour plus episode. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to chime in the conversation, did you read Ready Player One? What did you think of it? Let us know. You could always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you could head on over to one of our social media pages and leave us, like, you can leave us a comment on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And leave a comment on the pinned post. If we get enough comments and emails, we'll make a special episode of all this. Or you can send us a direct message through our Facebook page. Again, Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We do read the comments every now and again. We do read emails, the few and far between. But to continue, we do have an Instagram account. The Instagram handle is Long Coat Mafia. So while you're on our Facebook pages, please hit that those likes, those follows, those like buttons, the follow buttons, and the upcoming subscribe buttons too. That way you could, at least on Instagram, when you hit that follow button, you can see where we are, the memes, some of the photos that we share, that when we're out and about and so forth and so on. We do have a Twitter account. Our Twitter handle is Long Coat Mafia. We're trying to get back into the swing of things regards to Twitter, or I say the dumpster fire that is Twitter. Allow me to continue. We do have a TikTok. It's LCM Pod. All our information is in the description of the show down below. We also have a YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is Long Coat Mafia. It doesn't have an address because, well, YouTube decides to move the goalpost every time. Every time. It's a sliding goalpost, and we only have 30 subscribers. Therefore, we don't have enough subscribers to allow us to have a custom URL. So, to search for us, you can A, follow the link in the description down below, or B, head on over to YouTube and in the search bar, search for The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. That's right. You have to search for The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It's the first channel that comes up. And for those of you haters out there, I've tried this in incognito mode and not signed into Google. And it is the first and only channel that comes up. That's right. If you type in The Long Coat Mafia Podcast, it is the first and only channel that comes up. And while there, click the subscribe button. And we tend to put, depending on the video that we have, we tend to put some videos up that are YouTube exclusives and some videos that tend to be Facebook exclusive. So it's beneficial if you like our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Well, now to kind of continue, let's see, we do have a Twitch channel. It is twitch.tv/ Long Coat Mafia Pod, I think. But again, links are in the description down below. If you don't see them on our Facebook page, they are in the show description. And if they're not clickable, you can head on over to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, The Long Coat Mafia is all one word. No underscores, no spaces, no dots, no anything. Just thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And there you can see all our, not just all the links to where you could find us, but while there you could be, have access to all our episodes. All 290, close to 290 plus. So let me just say 285 plus episodes going all the way back to the beginning. You could download, stream them, listen to them on your player of choice or what have you. So that's a wonderful thing you could do if you're on the desktop. If you're on a mobile device, you're going to need the Podbean app to access all those episodes from our website. And while you're on the Podbean app, please hit that subscribe button to be notified when new episodes are available to listen to and download. Now, and you could also be part of the 1,280 some odd people who don't listen to our show on the Podbean app or the website as it is. Now, to kind of continue, if you're still on the desktop or website, not only is the website an option if any of the following services fail. Again, the website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You also have available to get us on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, whatever Apple's deciding to call their software for laptops and desktops this time around. Spotify, Stitcher Radio. I think you could get us on Amazon and Audible, the websites, in regards to everything. I'm not sure, but follow the links. Again, the links on our main website in regards to, or our... I think we post our Amazon, Google, and all that on our Facebook page anyway, so you're able to click that, and if you're on a desktop or laptop, you're able to snag it that way. As for mobile, we're available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, finally, Stitcher, let's see, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, plus a few other sites I'm probably forgetting, basically where podcasts are found. So listen to us, where everything, and that seems to be about it. Where are we going to go next week in regards to an episode? I don't know. I think next week might be the holiday week, the Christmas week, so I have no idea. There might be interviews in store. There's a few people I need to contact and everything else, so we'll have to wait and see. So, I'm going to go. There's things I got to do, and I got to do this and post it up and quit some things and everything else. So we don't know what's going to happen next week. We might take the rest of the year off and post up retrospectives because they're quick, dirty, and easy. Please, I know you like them, hate them, and everything else, but still, we have them there for you to enjoy. So, and if anything, I might see if I can get my hands on Big Candy and try to do a host role one day. I don't know. Big Candy, if you listen to us, let me know. But either way, I'll see you all next week, hopefully. And I'll try to let you all know when I start streaming something on Twitch. And I am the Godfather, and I am out.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.